The Bible says in Matthew that there are trials and tribulations in life, and they're just a natural part of living. It's all part of it. There's a quote in your bulletin if you want to take a look at it, the inspirational quote of the week. And I don't know if how many people realize how much time John Forster takes to find the appropriate quote for the week. And when I saw this, I said, oh my goodness, this is exactly what we're going to be talking about today. Enemy-occupied territory. That is what this world is. Christianity is a story of how the rightful king has landed. You might say landed in disguise and is calling us all to take part in a great campaign of sabotage. And that's by C.S. Lewis. And what that means is that this world, as we shared last week, is influenced by Satan. I know that's a hard thing that, you know, for us to accept, because it's not something that we think about. But nevertheless, it's the truth, and we'll see why it has to be true. It's true because in the very, very beginning, God said, but the devil began his very first lie, very first recorded lie, when he spoke to Eve and said, has God really said? Has God indeed said? Creating doubt about what God has said. And you may recall in the book of Genesis, God said that to Adam and Eve that they could have of everything in the garden. Everything was available to them except for one thing. And that was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And they were living in an innocent state and everything was perfect and just a beautiful place to be. I think a picture of what heaven will be like one day. But the devil came in and deceived through lies, caused Eve to actually take of the fruit, eat of it, and then turn around and hand it in peace to her husband, and he ate of it. And that was the very first sin. So the question is, was the sin in the apple? Maybe back up here. You know, first of all, we really don't know if it was an apple. It's just what we say. But it could have been anything. It could have been a watermelon. I mean, you know, could have been anything. But the point is that the question is, was sin in the fruit? Is it because of something inherent in the fruit? So what was the sin? The sin was what? It was the disobedience. Now, how does disobedience come about? Disobedience comes about because you don't believe the authority. And the authority in this case is God. Adam and Eve did not believe what God had said, believed the lie and listen, the devil's been lying all of his life. I mean, he's just so crooked. Even when he lays in bed, he can't even lie straight. You know what I'm saying? He's just so crooked because he's a liar from the very beginning. And I want you to understand something, that every lie that comes out of your mouth is perpetrated by the devil himself. Now you may say, oh no, I did that all myself. I thought that. No, you didn't. You were influenced. And it was a lifelong influence, as we'll see in just a few moments. As Pastor Carl said, I want to conclude a message that I started last week. Because I believe it's important for us to come to grips with ourselves and examine ourselves and examine the things that we believe. I believed a lot of lies in my life. As many of you know, I was an atheist from the time I was about 14 years old until I was 30 or so. And I believed it all. I believed in evolution. I believed in Darwinism. I believed that there was no moral authority. I believed I was my own God, in a sense, because I had no faith or no trust in anything else. And then I came to the truth. And when I came to the truth, I realized that there was stuff that I believed that I had to undo. You know, I've told the story many times. I won't tell it this morning because of time. But, you know, how I taught my son that I taught him evolution and creation theory. Not creation theory, but evolutionary theory and Darwinism. Because I believed it. See, I believed the lie, therefore I perpetuated the lie. And so many of us are affected by perpetuated lies. Things that we've been taught, and we believe that they were true because we trusted the people who spoke to us. You know, it may have been your parents. You know, my parents. You know, my parents. You know, my sister's here. She'll like this. My parents had discovered a medical cure for anything. You know, from athlete's foot to flus and viruses. It was called Vicks Rapo Rub. Oh, you know about that too, huh? Oh, okay. I thought it was just my family, you know. But my point is that, you know, when you grow up believing that, guess what you do to your kids? You tell them the same thing. Now, and so that's one of the concepts that we need to grab a hold of today. If you missed last week's message, I'm gonna do a real quick review, but I encourage you to get the audio. I'm sure it's online, not my job anymore to get it online anymore. But some of you understand what I'm talking about. But it's really a two-parter, and so I want to move on to the second part, but I need to review so that you'll understand where I'm going. So here we are. God has indeed said, and we need to understand that the devil is the perpetrator of all lies. Next slide. We went through this last week. These are some of the appellations, some of the terms, some of the descriptors that are used of the devil. And we're not going to go through the scriptures, but just to say, listen, number one, John 8:44. That one's important. He's the father of lies. So if he's the father of lies, what does that mean? Every lie comes from him. And so he's the father of lies. He's the accuser of the brethren. That's you. He will cause you to do something because he's deceived you. And then the moment you do it, he will badger you and point his finger at you and cause guilt and shame to fall upon you. He's referred to as the adversary. Listen, the devil is not your friend. I don't care how he comes disguised. He is not your... The devil is not some cute little figure. You know, a little pitchfork and a cute little adorable face. No, he's ugly, he's mean, he's a liar, he's a thief, he's a killer. He's referred to as the God of this world. Grab a hold of that. He's the God of this world. That's why that quote that we read just a little bit earlier by C.S. Lewis, it talks about, we are in occupied territory. And again, I know that it's difficult for us to grab a hold of this because, hey, most of us, we like the world we live in. But the world is filled with lies and deception. He's a power. He's called the power of darkness. He's the prince of the power of the air. He's referred to as the rulers of the darkness of this world. He's the ruler of this world. He's a spirit that currently works in the children of disobedience. Those that disobey, the ones that would embrace God, the devil's way rather than embrace God's way. And then finally, he's a tempter. He is good at it. He is very good at it. He's an expert tempter. He makes things look good. And then the moment you bite, you know, you're like that little mouse in the trap. I always have to, I'm the one, you know, I set the trap. And then Dee will come and tell me, okay, there's something in the trap. And I said, well, you're right there. So, oh, no, I can't look at it. Next slide. All right. We based our discussion last week on the fact that Pastor Carl has taken 10 weeks to, you know, I apologize, Carl. I condensed it into one slide. But he condensed, he took 10 weeks to describe the fact that when Israel was promised land, known as Canaan, and remember, when they were getting ready to cross into the Jordan, into the promised land, it was revealed to them that there were 7 tribes there, and the 7 tribes, you know, they were like, squatters, in a sense, you know, in terms of God's eyes. And they had to be removed. But they weren't simply to be removed. They were to be totally, completely annihilated, destroyed, so no trace of them would be left. And that seems like a harsh thing, but when you understand that what these tribes represented, and you can see the listing, it represented immorality, rebellion, fear, selfishness, double-mindedness, greed, and pride. And these are deadly things to the people of God. And they have no place in the believer. And come on, you know, I'm not asking for a show of hands, but how many people, we struggle with some of these things. And so that's what we want to deal with. That's what we want to talk about. You know, how do I, you know, I may be redeemed, I may be going to heaven, but why is my life such a hell on earth? It doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be. Then I paralleled it with Galatians 5, 19 through 21, which is the what's called the fruit of the flesh. And the fruit of the Spirit, remember, is love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. But the fruit of the flesh are all of that stuff. Listen, that's the world. You know, that, take a close look at it. That's basically the world. You're not going to find that in heaven. That's the world. Our citizenship is heaven. But we're in the world, but we're not of the world. And that's an important thing to remember. We know we're not called to run away from the world and hide in caves, but we are here to infiltrate and bring people to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And it's a fallen world. And it can be a very, very difficult world in terms of its influence and impact upon us and our families. Next slide. The key is lies. The devil is at the source of lies. Remember, he's a father of lies. And so what lies will do is it will create dysfunctional behavior. Now, when I say dysfunctional, I'm talking about dysfunctional in the eyes of God. In the eyes of God. You know, there are some people who, there are some people who are dysfunctional and they hang out with other dysfunctional people. And so they think, hey, you know, he's worse off than I am, so I must be okay. But in the eyes of God, there is dysfunction. There are things that ought not to be in our lives. And yet, the truth is that sometimes we struggle with the fact that these things, they oppress us. You know, they overwhelm us at times. And the key to understanding how to combat this or overcome this, we find in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning in verse 3. And again, details, get the audio from last week. But basically what it says is, Paul says, for though we walk in the flesh, in other words, we're human beings, we may be born again, our spirit man or woman is made alive, but the reality is that we are still flesh. And therefore we still have some of the weaknesses associated with the flesh. So for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. In other words, what the apostle is talking about is that we are in a spiritual battle. You know, this is not like, you know, like smacking your hand or having a rubber band to remind you not to do certain things. No, this is a spiritual battle. And until you have the spiritual victory, it's always going to be a problem in your life. See, this is not about rehabilitation, but this is about regeneration. This is about a change from the inside out. Amen? We're not talking about how to act nice. You know, like we tell our child, be nice. But inside, there's still little... Well, I don't want to call them devils. They're not little devils. How can a cute little child be a devil? Maybe they are. No, I'm only kidding. Hey, moving on. I don't want to get sidetracked. We have only a limited amount of time. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty in God for the pulling down of what? Strongholds. What's a stronghold? A lie. Well, it's nothing else. It is simple as that. A stronghold is a lie, but it's a lie that you believe to be true. And because you are caught up in that lie, you know, the worst thing about deception is that when you're deceived, you don't know you're being deceived. But then it goes on to say, for the pulling down of strongholds, then it explains what a stronghold is. Casting down arguments and every high thing that opposes or puts itself above the knowledge of God. And so when we talk about pulling down strongholds, we're talking about those things that we hold strongly onto for a variety of reasons. We'll quickly talk about that. But we hold onto them, and because we believe, you know, how could I ever have a bad thought? You know what I'm saying? But if we're wrong, we're wrong. One of the hardest things to do is to accept The fact that you... Listen, I'm going to shock a lot of people here tonight or today. You might be wrong. No, I know. You know, it's possible. You know, now, I know my wife and I, when we have arguments, yeah, we do. We argue at times, not very often, but we have, you know. When I have an argument with my wife, it's because I think I'm right. She takes the opposite position. She thinks she's right. Well, I know better. But do you see what I'm saying? It's so hard for us to accept the fact that we might be wrong. And until we're willing to examine that possibility, we're always going to be stuck in a hard place. It says, casting down argument, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Now here we go. Bringing every thought into captivity. I'm going to capture the thought, I'm going to look at it, and if it's wrong, no matter how long I've been attached to it, no matter how long I've been deceived, I'm going to take that thought and I'm going to cast it aside, but I have to replace it with something. I have to replace it with the truth. Jesus is the truth. God is the truth. The devil is a liar. God is the truth. I can't just cast things out and not replace them with something that is the truth. How do we know the truth? We know the truth through the Word of God. Okay, next slide. Behind every stronghold, as I said a moment ago, there's a lie. There's a lie. Behind every lie, there's fear. You know, it may not be the kind of, you know, abject fear where you're terrorized, not that kind of fear, but you're afraid of something. You're afraid that you're going to lose someone's acceptance. You're afraid that you're going to lose an opportunity. You're afraid of something that would cause you to want to embrace the lie. And behind every fear is an idol. And what do I mean by idol? Listen, anything that you turn to that is not God is an idol. Some people turn to wealth. Some people turn to influence and power. Some people turn to relationships. But, you know, there are a lot of things that people turn to give them a sense of being in control. And so when we realize that the stronghold is simply a lie and that the lie has power over us because we're afraid to let go of it. We're afraid to let go. And because of that, what we do is we substitute our trust in God into something else. Okay, next slide. Again, this is all covered in detail from last week. And so the question is, do you believe a lie? Or do you have a stronghold in your life? Well, I would proposition that we all do. We are works in progress, amen? We may be redeemed in terms of the Spirit, but there's also a process that we go through into becoming more and more like Jesus Christ, amen? Do you understand what I'm saying? We are works in progress. Every one of us, we're not where we are going to be, but we are on our way to that place where we are become more and more like Him. And so how do we move along? How do we determine the speed at which we move along? By dealing with the strongholds in our life. Strongholds will hold you back. Because what does a lie have to do with God? You know, he's light. And sometimes because of the light that he possesses or that he is, we hide in our lie because of the darkness. Okay. Last week we talked mainly about strongholds as a result of wrong thinking or beliefs. If you were here, you know we talked about some of the misinformation we get from our parents, some of Vicks VapoRub, some of the misinformation we get from teachers, you know, who maybe, you know, they're honestly wrong. Some of the teachings they're sincere, but they're sincerely wrong. And you know, some of the influences are from our peer pressures, you know, from our friends and associates who are, you know, close to us in age. And some of us have experiences and we draw the wrong conclusions from the experiences, and as a result we learn the wrong things. The other kind of stronghold, which we're going to talk about in just a few moments, is a stronghold as a result of an emotional event. A powerful emotional event. I'm pretty old. Yeah, I am. We don't even want to go there. Yeah. I'd have to check my abacus to see how old I am, but you know. My point is that there are certain aromas that I smell that bring me back to when I was 9 years old. You know, my background is I'm Spanish, and my grandmother would always make it this great, you know, Christmas and Easter and the big holidays, this big dinner, and there would be all kinds of rice and beans, of course, and pork. I mean, made in such a way that you can't find it. No matter who tries to make it, you know, grandma, you can't make grandma's pork. You know, and then she'd make these little I can't tell you what we call them because. But, you know, the little potato things with meat inside? There's a name for those. What? There you go. my point is that those aromas, I'm not nine anymore, will bring me right back there. You know what I'm talking about? You've got the same thing. You know, Ken and Miriam were here from this morning, and they're from Nigeria. And you know, they could relate to that with some of the Nigerian food. You know, it's just every culture, everyone's got situations like that, you know. My wife wears a certain perfume, and when I smell that perfume, it brings me back to certain moments, which I won't share with you. But my point, you know what I'm saying? So there are emotions connected to what? Memories. Yes. So you experience a certain emotion, all of a sudden a memory comes back to you. I remember grandma's cooking, you know. So I want you to hold that thought, because we're going to come back to that principle or to that concept. Move to the next one. The stronghold of lie. Many of us recognize the stuff that we're doing wrong. We know we're doing it wrong. You know, when you lose your temper, when you curse, when you have the wrong thoughts, when you lie, when you cheat, when when they overpay you at the checkout counter, you know you should go back. And so many of those things we can deal with, as you'll see in a moment, through the Word. But there are some things in our lives we don't know what's wrong. We can't put our finger on it, but there's just a certain tension. There's a certain unease. There's something going on inside of us, and we don't know what it is. But all we know is that it's difficult. It's hard. It's painful. And again, this is the direction we want to take today. Next one. The lie. So last week we covered what's in red. We recognize the stronghold, and the answer was renewal through the Logos Word. What we were saying is that when you want to change, you recognize you need change in your life. The Holy Spirit is showing you that there are some areas that you need to work on. You've got the manual that will help you do it. Because what will happen is that if you're dealing with, say, an anger issue, and you read what the Word has to say about anger, you will be convicted by it, and then the Holy Spirit will guide you and help you to overcome that area. But it's an area that you work with the Holy Spirit in cooperation. So it's not just, I'm born again, and all of a sudden these things are just going to fall off of me. There are some things you have to work through. And those things that you're aware of, you can work through the Logos Word, the written Word. And the Holy Spirit will illuminate the Word. It will cause the Word to spring up into your eyes, and you'll recognize what it really means. You know, the first time I read the Bible, I read it like a book, like any other book. You know, I was in college, and I read it like a chemistry book or a biology book. And when I read the Bible, I put it down and said, boy, that was boring. But when I had eyes to see, it says that in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, all of a sudden I realized that what I was reading a lot of it had to do with me. And I realized what the truth was and the lie that I had to deal with. And we were given the weapons of our warfare, as we mentioned in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And the weapons of our warfare we'll get to in a second. But it's basically the Word. It's the Spirit. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. There's power in the name of Jesus. But you have to decide. You have to decide. I don't want to be a liar anymore. I don't want to be a show-off anymore. You know, I don't want to be a Mr. Know-it-all anymore. You know, whatever the situation might be. You know, there's just too many to try and make a list of. But the point is that the Logos Word has power. But unless you're in the Word, then it's very difficult for the Holy Spirit to bring it forth and to operate in your life. On the other side, though, well, before you go there, on the other side, if you don't know what really the problem is, then the Logos Word is not going to be very helpful. What you need is you need power. You need authority. You need what's known as the Rhema Word. And the Rhema Word is when God speaks to you. And when He speaks to you, He's going to say something significant and important. I've asked Chris Stanziola to share a word. He shared a word with a couple of us about 2 weeks ago about the Rhema Word. And when he shared the Rhema, that I thought, wow, this is what we need to hear. So Chris, if you would come. And take your time. We have the whole day.
There's like 8,000 promises in here we can talk about. I hope you got time.
Did I turn that on? Yeah. Is it green?
It's on. Okay, yeah, it's on. Okay. Pastor Vic asked me to just share briefly. The Rhema Word is a big topic. It's beyond a single meeting. But in the context of what he's talking about, which has to do with delivering us from a lie. It's an anointed word. It's a spoken word, the scripture says. If you study it in the Greek, it means a spoken word. It means a command. It means a response. So it's a response to our petition to God for insight, for light, for wisdom, for counsel. You know, the Spirit of God is the counselor. So if I ask Him for counsel, I mean, that's what He does. And He speaks only what He hears. So He speaks the word to us to give us insight, to give us direction, to give us purpose, all right? Whatever we're petitioning Him for. So, for example, if I'm talking to Him about a job, should I take this job? Is this a good job? Are these good people to work for? I'm going to petition Him in that context. I'm going to ask Him for insight. I'm going to ask Him for counsel in that direction. And, you know, I'm not going to go to the book of Numbers and read about genealogy, all right? I'm going to go and try to find something in the Word of God that enables, you know, I'm in His environment, I'm in His Word so that He can speak to me. Or He may just sovereignly speak in response to my petition, right? But it's a sovereign word from God. It's an anointed word. Jesus is the Word made flesh, so He's the Logos made flesh. And when He spoke to people, He was anointed. He was anointed by the Holy Spirit, all right? He divested His deity. We read about that in Philippians 2. And He came to earth as a man, and He relied on the anointing of the Holy Ghost to do the miraculous, all right? And so when we ask God for a Rhema word, we're asking Him to say something miraculous. We're asking for the God of heaven to talk to us. I mean, that's a big deal. Right, and but it should be, I hesitate to use the word natural, but it should be part of our experience, right? And He's not a respecter of persons. He'll talk to anybody. If He talks to me, believe me, He'll talk to anybody. The key is just to shut up and listen and put yourself in a position to hear. That's really what it is. So in the context of what Pastor Vic is sharing, having to do with healing, essentially this is healing, getting rid of a lie is getting rid of something that is a disease, or it's a sort of a disease of the mind or a disease of the soul, right? You have to be willing. You have to ask for Him to This is where it's not cookbook. You have to do this. You know, we're studying honor in the Bible study that I'm doing on Monday nights. You got to decide to honor God. Nobody can do it for you. You can teach what honor is and the steps of it and the outward manifestations of it. You know, raise your hand or kneel down or say nice things. But you got to decide in your heart for that. And it's the same thing with healing in the soul and getting over dysfunction in your life and all that. You just have to be willing. You can walk in a meeting. I shared this morning. I've been in meetings where there may be a couple hundred people in a meeting and 10, 12 people get healed. And most of them weren't even asking for healing. Just because everybody wants to be healed. Right? If your leg bothers you, you know, you got a disease you're dealing with, everybody wants to be healed. That doesn't really require an act of will. But when it comes to the soul, when it comes to your emotions, when it comes to laying stuff down or picking something up, right, you have to decide. And when that bridge is crossed, when you make that decision, when you engage God with your will, that's when you'll get a rhema word, right? That's when you open the door for him to speak into your life. And so you can read about in the 8th chapter of Luke, it's really not about the rhema word, but it's appropriate. He goes through the parable of the sower, and the first seed is sown on the path, and it says the seed is trampled, and the birds come by and eat it up. And then he goes and explains what that means. He says the seed is the word of God. The devil comes and steals what is sown in people's hearts so they don't believe, all right, and they can't be saved. But in the Greek it says it's trampled. It's scorned, actually, by the people who hear it. And what we don't want to do is scorn the logos. We don't want to spurn the logos of God. We want to embrace it so that we can be transformed. Now, if I'm in a position where I can't understand the logos of God, because, I mean, it is Jesus. I mean, he is a little smarter than we are. He is a little more deeper and profound than we are. Then I need insight from God. And in order to get insight from God, I've got to ask him to illuminate that word, to make it a personal word to me, to make it a rhema word so that I can understand what he's really trying to say. Now, later on when you read in that parable, there's a section in there where he talks about the word that's sown among thorns, and it's unfruitful. Now, the thorns are all the issues of life, he says. He says they're the things that spring up and just, you know, make life difficult, and we get distracted, right? And we don't know why we get distracted sometimes. So he's paid the price for the thorns, okay? He's already done that. There's a deliverance or an enablement or a path that's pretty clear to receive direction from God if we simply ask. He's not a respecter of persons. He'll do it for anyone who asks. So I would encourage you, what Pastor Vic is talking about today is resonating with you. If there's an area that you have to deal with, or an area that you want to deal with, or something that you need, or decision, or you know, a major decision in your life, buy this house or get married, or, you know, something significant, that you would avail yourself of the open door that God has to hear his rhema word and to follow his counsel and obey his command. And yeah, it's in our best interest.
Amen. Yeah. Thank you. And just to make clear, we look at the New Testament, we know the word can be translated one of two ways, logos or rhema. And logos most often means, when we talk about it in terms of being a Christian, we're talking about the Bible. And the Bible, you know, has the ability to reflect who we are in truth. And then we have to decide. But what about those situations where we haven't got a clue what's going on? All we know is that we're not right. And so that's where deliverance is so important, and where deliverance comes through the rhema word. That when God speaks to you, then you know. You can let it go. You can relax. You know, I see Katie. I see you're here. I didn't know you were going to be here. But I was going to read something that Katie had texted Dee, and Dee had gotten permission for me to read it. I don't know if you want to share it or you want me to read it. I can read it. Okay. Okay, here we go. Here's what Katie, who was not supposed to be here this morning, had to say. Hey, it's Katie. I want to share this with you, speaking to Dee, but I think she's speaking to all of us, and now I'm speaking to Katie, speaking to herself. I don't think I'll have time at church, so I'm going to text you. So the other night, I was praying about Mrs. Clark, who has been placed in hospice care due to her brain cancer. And I'm pretty sure I heard God speak to me for the first time. All I was focusing on was the timing of everything. And I was angry at him, meaning angry at God, for taking her before all the good things happened. Then I sat there in silence, and out of nowhere, I heard a voice say, "There are good things. These good things are happening when they are... there are good things that are happening so that the family will have some joy through the pain." I felt so much more at peace since then. It's a total turnaround. In the moment I heard that, my whole body felt strange. I had a huge knot in my stomach, and I felt butterflies. It all happened after I went for a walk and gave my depression and anxiety over the same night. And so there's an example of a word in season that Katie received, because she was believing a lie. She was believing that only terrible things could come out of this tragedy. But what God revealed to her is that even in the tragedy, there are opportunities for God's joy to be made manifest. Amen? And that gave her a peace, because she no longer believed the lie. She was no longer angry, but she replaced it with the truth is that God is still in control. Amen? And so thank you, Katie. That was a good word. Amen. All right, next slide. We're not going to go over this. I encourage you to go over the last week, and we just don't have time. And I think that what I want to share with you about using the Rhema word to overcome the stuff that you can't recognize. Next slide. There's a lie, so we're going to, you don't recognize a stronghold. You don't know what's going on. So it requires deliverance. Normally, when you say the word deliverance to a Christian, they're immediately thinking you've got demons. If you need deliverance, that must mean you have demons. Well, no, deliverance means to be delivered of something that's not of God. And what we're talking about here is deliverance from the lie. See, the key is the lie. Get to the lie and everything will fall into place. All right, and we'll see that now in the next. And one more. And this was the last one that we're going to be looking at. Remember what we said before. Memories can be attached to emotions. Or I should say, emotions can be attached to memories. Provoke the emotion, and all of a sudden, you have remembrance of something. What we're going to talk about here is something that some people would call inner healing. There are times in our lives, especially when we're young, where we misunderstand, we misinterpret things, and as a result, we experience a great traumatic situation. Did I share with you cutting my hand off this morning? No, that was at the earlier service. I get a little confused there. Yeah, it's because I'm old. No. When I was about 9 years old or so, I hate to admit it, but I had ringworm on my hand. I know some of you going, ugh. Anyway, I had ringworm on my hand, and it was getting worse and worse. Of course, I didn't know what it was, and so I suggested to my mother that, Mom, I need to go to a doctor. I need to do something. Vicks VapoRub is not working. You know what mother said to me? She said, "Listen, if we take you to the doctor, they're just going to cut your hand off."
Way to be, Mom.
Mom had a heart of compassion. You can tell there. Now, my point is that bothered me for years, because I believed the lie. They weren't going to chop my hand off, As a matter of fact, I did go to a doctor. And I was terrified when I finally had to go, No, I'm not going to show you my hand. But my point is that's how easily we can buy into a lie, especially when we're young, because we're so naive, we tend to believe what people tell us. And so there can be events in our life that are traumatic. What do I mean by traumatic? Well, listen, physical abuse leaves scars. Emotional abuse leaves scars. Sexual abuse leaves scars. Being told that you're no good, that you're worthless, that you'll never amount to anything, leaves scars. Come on, you understand what I'm talking about? You know, we're not talking about just, you know, I trip and fell and I scrape my knee. No, we're talking about hard, ugly things that happen in life. They leave a scar. We live in the world which is influenced by the devil. So he puts a lie into your mind. And the lie usually goes along something like this. You deserve that. You earn that. You are no good. You were wrong in what you did. You're an evil child. And so what happens is that when we're young, we buy into this because we don't know any better, and we embrace what the lie is for our lives. And so what will happen then is that when you begin to believe the lie, it becomes a stronghold, and there's going to be emotional upheaval that goes along with that. When you believe the lie, those kinds of lies, it tears you up on the inside. You know, you're filled with guilt, you're filled with shame, you're filled with every kind of negative emotion that you can experience. So what do? You tend to repress it, you push it down, but it's going to come out in some way. It's like, remember the little toys I remember when my kids were young, you know, you squeeze it and the head would pop out, and then you squeeze another part of the body, and you know what I mean? And so that's the way it is with repressed emotions. You know, when you try to press it down and you don't want to deal with it, it will show in different ways, and that's where the dysfunction comes in. It comes, and weird things happen. You know, weird. You know, sometimes the dysfunction is to, in some, because of the lie, you want to confirm what the lie is in your life. And the very thing that you've been accused of, you work towards trying to fulfill in your life. It's a lie from the pit of hell. Sometimes the pain, the emotional pain is so great that you try to numb it. And so you resort to drugs or to alcohol or other things to try and eliminate the pain. Sometimes it produces weird compulsions of all kinds. You know, I'm not a psychologist, a counselor, or anything like that, but, you know, when we talk about dysfunction, we're talking about, you know, people who don't function in the society or in the family as you would normally expect them to. You know, they can be mean, they can be angry all the time, or they can be incredibly timid and fearful. I mean, it runs the gamut. There's no limit to what kind of dysfunction we're talking about. But what happens is that the world will try to deal with the emotional upheaval. The world will try to modify the dysfunctional behavior. But the world never gets to what the real issue is, and that's the lie. And so the lie produces emotional upheaval. The emotional upheaval produces dysfunctional behavior. And then when everything seems to be fine, there's an event that triggers the cycle all over again. It reminds you of the lie. It's like smelling grandma's roast pork. Only that wasn't a lie. That was real. But you know what I'm saying? It's that kind of thing. So what happens is that the lie, emotional dysfunction, trigger, and you're in this vicious cycle. The problem is not the event. The event took place. It happened. It can't be undone. The problem is with the lie that we believe. And as long as we're believing the lie about us or about ourselves, we're stuck in this cycle. And that's where Chris was talking about, is that what we need is we need a rhema word. We need God to speak to us. We need God to say to us. We need to hear Him say, "You are my child and I love you." And unveil the lie that you believed in for so many years. And when you replace that lie with God's truth, whatever it might be and whatever that situation might be, what you're going to find is that you break the cycle. Now you can deal with the emotional upheaval. Now you can deal with the dysfunctional behavior. And that can be done through the Logos word as well. But the point is, you need something that, you know, just as the event was some powerful event that created the lie, you need a powerful event to break the hold of that lie.
Amen.
And that powerful event is the intercession, the deliverance by Jesus Christ and His Holy Spirit. You're not going to do it by lighting candles. You're not going to do it by you know, asking God for forgiveness. You don't even know what to ask for forgiveness for. You see, at least what we talked about last week, when you've been fed a lie and you recognize a lie, well, you can say, "Man, I've been wrong all these years. Lord, forgive me. I was misled. I believe the lie. I repent." But here, you see, you don't know. It's like something that's hidden. And that's the way the devil works. He hides it because he wants to control you by it. The dysfunction that, you know, listen, you go through the emotional upheaval of that lie. And you know what the devil's doing? You know, he's just provoking those emotions. "You deserve it. You're no good. You're a bad person." And then the dysfunctional behavior, you know what he says? He says, "Look what you're doing. This proves that you're emotionally a wreck."
Amen.
This proves that he wouldn't call it a lie. He would call it my truth. But Jesus is able.
Amen.
You know, you can go to meetings, you can pray, you can do a lot of things, but the key is in the words that Chris spoke. The key is, "Lord, I'm placing myself on the altar." Romans 12:1, what does it say? It says, "I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present yourselves a living sacrifice, not being conformed to the world, but to be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Well, listen, before you can renew the mind, you may need to deal with this. And I'm not saying everyone's got these huge issues. But I am saying, Jesus is the answer. You know, whether you just came under the influence of wrong teaching, wrong thinking, or you've just had some terrible things happen in your life, and because of those terrible things, you came to the wrong conclusion. And as a result, you've been in this cycle that you haven't been able to get out of. It's like a train ride. But the devil's the engineer. And we need to kick the devil out of that seat. Amen. Put Jesus there, amen?
Amen?
And you won't be going in circles anymore, but you'll be going forward and upward in Him. Amen? Come on, why don't you stand with me right now? This is a journey that all of us have to go through at some point. And some of us do it early in our lives. Carl testified how it transformed his life 10 years ago. But this is a journey that only you can do.
Amen.
You know, no one can do it for you. Only you. So I want you to just bow your heads right now. And if in the time that we've been talking about this, you know, you recognize that you may not recognize what the lie is at this particular moment. We had someone this morning came to me and said that there was this thing that I won't get into it, but there was this thing that I always did because my father was never around on the holidays. And for the first time, I believe God showed me why I do this. And there was a real victory there. Because Jesus said that to know the truth is the path to freedom. And whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And so I just want to take a couple of minutes. And if you feel that, hey, God has revealed something to you. Maybe it's through the emotional upheaval that you experience and you can't explain why it happens. Or maybe it's because you recognize that there are some things, that behavior patterns that you have that just doesn't make any sense. Then I'm going to ask you, listen, if you want to be set free, you need to take the step. And I could very easily pray for everyone while you're in your seat in a very safe place. But only God can deliver you from this. Only Jesus, His Holy Spirit, that He would speak a word to you. And so if that's you, I'm going to ask you to make your way to the front. We're not going to lay hands and pray, because that's not what we're doing this morning. But you're saying, I want to be that living sacrifice. I want to lay myself upon that altar so that God can transform me from the inside out. Hallelujah. And we're just going to wait. We're just going to wait. I mean, I know what I'm asking is difficult. But listen, it's time to break the cycle. And only Jesus can break that cycle. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, right now we see your children, the men and women, your soldiers, if you would, your disciples, your followers. And Lord, they've come forward to receive a touch from you. Not by man, but to receive a touch, a rhema word from you. Lord, I would ask, I pray that you would be able, not that you would be able to, because you are able, but that you would speak to each individual here. And Lord, especially those that have taken a step forward. And Lord, you would speak to them, and then you would bring them through the process of complete healing. That they would be delivered from the lie. And that lie would be replaced by your truth. And your truth is that we are new creations in you. The old has passed away. And all things have become new. The truth is your promise. You'll never leave us nor forsake us. The truth is that you have no favorites, but that we are all loved by you. The truth is that you don't want us to live in pain. The pain produced by a lie. But your desire is that we would be free. And that your joy would be our strength in these moments. So Lord, I just ask for your anointing now. Lord, just to touch each person here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Just thank you. Yeah, just bask in his presence right now. Just bask in his presence. And recognize that this is the day. What is today? The 9th? 9th of April. This is the day that the Lord's going to break that cycle. Let's pray in the Spirit. If God's given you the ability to pray in the Spirit for these men and women up here. We thank you, Jesus. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Oh, yes, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 And so, Father God, as we draw this service to a close, Lord, let this be a defining moment for each person here. Your love knows no bounds. And there's no limit to your power or what you would do for us. And so, Lord, we thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Anybody have a testimony up front here? Oh, Mary, okay. That was quick. Amen, amen, amen.
When I was young, I was both emotionally and spiritually abused.
Just a moment. Let's try again. Try it again.
When I was young, I was both emotionally and spiritually abused. And as I was listening, as Carl preached, you know, one Sunday I felt like I just got this rhema word. It didn't feel like a positive one, but it said, "You're rebellious." And I was like, "I'm not rebellious." But I said, "God, you have to show me this." And, you know, because I had previously said, "God, I just want all of you. And, you know, whatever mess is in me, just get it out, you know." And so the Lord showed me, like when I get hurt, like because of the emotional and spiritual abuse young, I just decided, I'm not going to let this touch me anymore. So pride and rebellion rose up. So when somebody would hurt me now, I just go to that place. But it wasn't a conscious thing. It was a subconscious thing. And so, you know, I repented of the rebellion, but I felt like today God was showing me the pride was still there, that I will do what's right in my own mind. I don't care who hurts me. Or, you know, the spiritual abuse was just too strong for me. I couldn't overcome it. Like, it was just like, it was like Jezebel coming at me all the time, and it was too much. I couldn't handle it. So the Lord told me today too, when I repented of pride and rebellion again, that the weapons of his warfare are divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses, that we have nothing, even if Jezebel herself comes at me, it can't touch me in the name of Jesus. And the weapons of our warfare are divinely powerful for the destruction of the devil.
Amen, 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 amen. You know, it's for those people that came forward. I mean, does anyone, do any of you want to share anything? Maybe God showed you something while you're up here this morning. I'm not going to pressure anyone. Okay. Karen? Okay. Want to share? No? Another time. Amen. Amen. Thank you, God. Thank you for every man and woman here, Lord. I just ask that you would cause this message to permeate each one of us, myself included, because our desire is that our lives would give you glory, and so that you would work gloriously in us and through us, and we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful, wonderful Sunday, and the sun is out.